Well, a warm welcome to everyone here for our morning worship service today in Karatz. I don't need to say hello to the people in through in the church hall because there aren't any people in through in the church hall. Oh, I forgot to check if there's anybody in the session room, but I don't think there is. So it's good that we're able to be here today under the same roof, and welcome everyone who's made it along. Some of you are sitting in a place different from where you would normally sit, so thank you for your cooperation in that. I'll say hello also to those then who are not able to be here today, but who'll be listening later on, and I will just do the announcements before we come to our public worship. The evening prayer time is here at 7:10, using the pews at the front of the church building, and then the worship service at 7:30. Tuesday evening, the midweek meeting is the final session of the Discipleship Explored course. It's based on Philippians 4, verses 10 to 23, and the title this week is Content in Christ. Thursday evening is the Girls Brigade Parents Night at 7:30 for the main company. And then Friday evening in Drumbog at 7:30, although the presbytery meets at 7:15, is the ordination of John Coulter as the new minister in Drumbog congregation. They'll not be any CY this week because of other things that people have on. Next Lord's Day then, Sabbath school classes meet at 11:00. The morning service here in the church building, again, leaving every other pew empty. And we do have the side facing pews that are available. And if we had more people than today, we'll still be able to accommodate folk. And the prayer meeting and the evening service next Lord's Day at the normal times. The offering, the appeal for Ukraine, the Ukraine appeal offering. The amount on the announcement sheet, it says 2,240. It's now 2,290 is the latest figure for that. Then in regard to the homes for Ukraine, elders and deacons met last Sabbath evening after the evening service, and we agreed to make our church property available for refugees from Ukraine if it is deemed to be suitable. And so, along with other RP congregations, our address has gone forward to the authorities via Reverend Nathan Hawthorne, and we await a response from them on that matter. So that would be living accommodation would be one of the upstairs rooms. There's the kitchen would be available, and the toilets and shower area. So we don't know if anything will come of that, but the offer has been made. The announcements about the Go teams and the summer camps, nothing has changed in regard to those. The camp applications aren't yet on the website, but if you keep an eye out, they should be there sometime soon. Next session meeting is Tuesday, the 5th of April at 8:00. So those are the announcements and highlight for today. And we'll come now to worship God, singing praise to Him. And we turn to sing part of Psalm 104. Psalm 104. We use the tune Ostend, 184. And the stanzas we'll be singing are 13 and 14. And then across the page, it'll be 17 to 20. So Psalm 104, at stanza 13, speaking of God, it says, He makes the grass for cattle grow, He makes the plants to sprout, for man to cultivate, and thus food from the earth bring out. And stanza 17, it says, The seasons by the moon are marked, the sun knows when to set, the darkness you establish so that it becomes the night. And it talks about what happens at night time. And God has appointed all these things. He has set the times and seasons in place, and it's all by His doing. And so stanza 20 says, How many are your works, O Lord? It is with wisdom great that you have made them all, earths full of things you did create. So these words acknowledge God as the creator of the things that we see, and God as the order that we, the source of the order and organization that we see in the way our world works. Let us unite then in his praise. Stanzas 13 and 14, and then 17 to 20 of Psalm 104. And the tune is, "O stand, 184, we'll stand to sing and remain standing then for prayer." Now let us worship God. Now let us speak to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise and thank you for today, and we rejoice in the day that it is. We thank you for this day in which the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we thank you for the Lord's day and the opportunity to gather in public worship. We praise you for the beautiful sunny day that it is, and we thank you for many like it that we've had over the last wee while. We thank you for the blessing of being able to be worshiping back here in the church building, and we return thanks, Lord, to you for your faithfulness. We pray for those not able to be among the assembled congregation today. We pray for them in their own situations, and we pray for those who will listen to the service later on, and we pray that you will draw near to them as they seek to worship you in the way in which they can. Lord, bless us in this time of gathering. We pray that as we remember you, that it will be good for us to focus our thoughts upon you and your greatness and your ways. Bless the reading of the scriptures, and we pray, O Lord, that you will work mightily among us now for your own sake. We pray forgiveness for all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray in his name. Amen. Mm-mm. Now let us turn to read from God's Word, reading from the book of Psalms. And the chapter is 104. Psalm 104, beginning on page 535 of our church Bible. I want to read the whole of this psalm. Psalm 104, this is God's word. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder, they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them, the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You made darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan, which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season, that you give them what you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth, and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. praise the Lord. So reads God's own true word. I say a few words today in regard to the significance of this day when we're back in the meeting house once again. Last night, it was time to put the clocks forward, and we don't have to put them back again for another 7 months. So we've reached the time of the longer evenings, and we're thankful for that. And it's a strange thing to be changing the time on a clock. It almost doesn't seem right to be doing that. And it's not something that we really can do to change the time to move things forward. We have to wait in life on God's time, and we've been waiting a long time for when we've been able to come back together here in our church building for public worship. The last time the morning service of Karatz RP Church was held here in the church building was the 15th of March 2020. That's over 2 years ago. And I'm sure over the last 2 years, many of us, young and old, have probably wanted to move things forward, to turn the clock on, to usher ourselves forward towards getting out of pandemic times. But of course, we couldn't do that. That wasn't in our power. And in these past couple of years, and still to some extent, it's been the case that we're reminded that we are not in charge and that we are not in control. And things out with our control have changed and shaped our lives. And so today, it's good for us to remember that it is God who is in control. And he is the one always who appoints what happens and when it happens. And we make our plans, and it's right that we make our plans. But it's God who determines our steps. God determines where we can go. God determines when we can go. And that's a good thing. It's always a good thing for us that God is in charge, and that it's not we ourselves who are in charge. And in the scriptures, we are taught that in all our plans, in all our thoughts, and all the things we seek to line up for the future, that always we should say, if the Lord wills, we shall live, and we shall do this or do that. And we will only live if the Lord wills that we should live. And we will only do this and do that if the Lord wills that we'll do this and that. And we can be thankful that many who would have been here back on the 15th of March 2020 are able to be back here again on the 27th of March 2022. We recognize that during that two-year period, we have lost some of our members. Some have passed on. And there are others who are not able at present to be gathering here with us. All of these things were in God's hands, and that was God's appointed time and God's appointed way for things. And so we remember today, and we'll be thinking as we come to think of what the Bible teaches us, we'll be remembering that it is God who is in charge, and he is the one who determines what happens and when it happens. Well, now we come to pray, and today in Galway is the last day that Peter Jemfrey will be preaching there as the minister in that congregation. Today is also the last day of the vacancy in the Drumbolg congregation, and we can be thankful for the ordination that's due to come up on Friday night. And so let us join together now in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, We thank you for the scriptures that remind us that you are God and that you're the one who is in charge of this earth. And so, Lord, we pray that you will help us to look to you and know that we need to look to you. And we thank you, Lord, for how you exercise your rule and your authority. And we return thanks, Lord, for the answers to the prayers of the Drimbolg congregation. We thank you for the minister that you're providing them with. We pray for that ordination and installation service on Friday night. And we pray for John Coulter as he prepares himself for that new work that he's entering into. And we pray for your abundant blessing. We remember also the congregation of Galway in their disappointment with this being the last day of Peter Jemfrey preaching as their minister. We pray, Lord, for Raymond Blair as he will be serving as interim moderator. And we pray, Lord, that that will be a short vacancy there in Galway and that you would provide another man to be the pastor there in that work. We pray for strength for Billy Hamilton and Frank McMurray, the elders there. And Lord, we pray that they will be able to keep your people together. And we ask for your blessing upon the folk in Galway. Lord, we give thanks for today, for this day known as Mother's Day. And Father, we return thanks to you for the blessing, the great blessing that mothers are throughout the earth. We thank you for every way in which you have blessed us through the mothers that you appointed for us. And we pray for those who continue to be mothers and pray for them, Lord, that you will encourage them and help them in their work. And Lord, we praise you for your workings among the young folk in our congregation. We pray for them and the different things that they're facing. We pray, Lord, for Claire, looking forward to her wedding just over a month's time. We pray for Claire and Darren in their preparations. We pray for Sharon in her work in the hospital. We pray for Dan as he moves to a new job tomorrow, and pray that that will all work out well. And we thank you for your provision in that. We pray for James and John in their work. We pray for safekeeping for them, and we pray for your good hand upon them. We pray for Ross and Grace in the final year of their courses, and help them in all that is to be done in these remaining weeks of their time of study, and provide for them, O Lord, as they look beyond this chapter of their lives. We pray for Mary and Ewan and Aaron, that you help them in coming up to their AS and GCSE exams. Be with them in all that they'll have to revise for over these coming weeks. And we pray for the younger ones and for them, and as they continue in their education, we pray, Lord, for your help, and we pray that you'll guide them in their thoughts as they consider what you may have in store for them in the future. Lord, help our young folk to believe the things they read in the scriptures. Help them, O Lord, to trust in the Lord Jesus for themselves and to know your gracious hand upon them day after day. We remember those men at the Theological College. We pray for them as they have a week off now to prepare for 2 weeks of exams, and we pray that you will help them to be able to concentrate and make good use of this week. We pray, Father, for the situation in Ukraine again, for the people who are there in that country in great distress. We pray for those who have fled from the country and for all the other lands where people are being housed and sheltered. And Lord, we pray for your good hand in all of this, that there will be good things that will come out of this great heartache for the people of Ukraine. And we pray that soon the invasion will come to an end. And Lord, we ask for your good hand in this sad experience. Lord, hear these our prayers. Help us as we turn our thoughts to you and your ways, and we pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen. We've read from Psalm 104 today. I'm not intending to speak on Psalm 104. I read that psalm as a psalm that is illustrative of what I do want to speak on. I want to speak on the subject of the providence of God. God has a plan that he has made for all that will happen in the world. The Bible teaches that clearly. And the Bible teaches also that God is busy carrying out the plan that he has made. And God is not just a spectator of all that happens here in this world, but God is actively involved in everything that takes place. Some people have the idea that God did create the world, but once he had done his work of creation, that he really withdrew from the world and he left it up to us to get on with things, and he left the world to sort of run itself. Well, that's not the picture that we're given in the Bible. People would say that God put the laws of nature in place, and now he just lets nature take its course. And they would argue that there's lots of evidence for that. And they would point to the evil things going on in the world, and they would say, well, it doesn't look as if God is active in the world today. God can't really be doing much in our present world. He was active at the start, but he's not active now. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches us. And the doctrine of God's providence that I want to speak on today tells us a very different story. It gives us reassurance that the things that happen in our own lives, the things that happen in our church, in our land, and in our world, that they are not just chance events. But everything that happens, happens because God has been so working. And God is not just the creator of the world, but God is at the helm. He is directing things. He is steering his world where he wants it to go. Now, there are people around us and people that we know who believe that God exists. But they also believe in luck and they believe in chance. But those who truly believe what the scriptures teach know that there is no such thing as luck. There is no such thing as chance. And things don't just happen because of impersonal fate. It's not true that whatever will be. But rather it is true that whatever God wills, will be. And God will personally ensure that what he has planned is what will come to pass. So we think about the biblical doctrine of the providence of God. And there are two main parts to that that I want to speak about first. There's a truth that God preserves and the truth that God governs. And then there's a couple of other things that I'll go on to. First of all, then, thinking of the truth that God preserves. Our world is not on autopilot. The world does not keep turning by its own momentum. The world does not have self-sustaining life, but rather it is God who sustains, and it is God who preserves our world. And if God were to stop working, then our world would run down and fall apart. That hasn't happened because God is preserving and sustaining the world. And we're reminded of that in the scriptures. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that we are taught does this work of sustaining the world. Colossians 1, 16 and 17, we're taught that all things were created by him and for him, that he is before all things, and that it is in him that all things hold together. Jesus is like the glue that holds everything together. It's the work of God. Hebrews 1 verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Jesus sustains the things that he has made by his powerful word. And we are reminded that the same Lord Jesus who created all things by simply speaking the word, that's all he had to do, speak the word, and things came into being. And so now today, he speaks the word, and things hold together, and they don't fall apart. His powerful word creates, and his powerful word sustains. Jesus Christ is the King who is actively ruling over this world. And in the Old Testament scriptures, we find much evidence of God doing his work of preserving his creatures. We read in Psalm 104, and in many places scattered throughout Psalm 104, it talks about the provision that God makes for his creatures, whether they live, whether they're land creatures, air creatures, or sea creatures. God gives them what they need. And he's the one who sends the rain. He's the one who makes the grass grow for the cattle. And we're told in verses 27 and 28, these all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. And we can think also from the Old Testament about ways in which God preserved not the lives of the animals and so on, but how God preserved his people's lives. And it was God who delivered his people from their long time of slavery in Egypt. It was God who gave victories in battles where God's people were hugely outnumbered by their enemies. It was God who took away the besieging armies that surrounded the cities in which God's people dwelt. And it was God who preserved people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into a fiery furnace, and what hope was there for them? Well, they came out unsinged. And Daniel was thrown into the den full of hungry lions, and what hope was there for him? Well, God preserved him alive. But he didn't preserve the next men that were thrown into the den of lions. God knows how to preserve his people. And that's written across the words of Scripture. The Lord is mighty to preserve. And so our God is a hands-on God. He is constantly at work in our world. He'll not be mentioned on the news, but he is the reality that ensures that there is news, that there is a world. And God is carrying out what he has planned, and he is actively preserving his people and the world in general. God preserves, and God has preserved us. Here we are today, alive, able to be here. Some of you are here today, and medical opinion was such that you wouldn't be here today. But God preserved you. And where it was thought that there was no hope of you surviving, you're still here. Many years later, God has preserved. God preserves. And then also, the doctrine of God's providence teaches us that God governs. There is no area of the universe, there's no area of life where God is not ruling and working out his purposes. It is God who controls the very ordinary things of life as we see them. It's God who controls the weather and what we get. And Psalm 135, Verse 7, it says, He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. It's God who does it. And weather forecasters give us their predictions as to what they think is going to come, but it's God who determines what actually does come. And sometimes what the forecasters tell you are coming your way doesn't come at all. A number of years ago in the Boston area, all the forecasters were predicting a very heavy snowfall. And on the basis of the forecast, the schools were closed, and not a single snowflake fell at all, because it is God who governs, and it's God who determines what happens. And just as God governs in terms of the weather and so on the political front, it is also the truth that God governs. God determines the rise and fall of nations, of kingdoms, of leaders, of political parties, and it is God who is in charge. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. And God can bring down any earthly ruler in a moment. And he can do it with or without military intervention on the part of man. God is greater than any human ruler. And we need to remember that. And God rules over all the details of our lives. God is in charge of all our particular life circumstances. It is God who gives, and it is God who takes away. And God does as he sees fit. And the scriptures tell us that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose in all things. And God is working in all things. And we need to remember that it is all things in which we should look for the hand and the wisdom of God. And God is working in the things that may seem to be utterly insignificant, things that don't matter at all. In the Old Testament, in the book of Esther, the whole story of the book of Esther turns upon the fact that one night the king couldn't sleep. And that didn't seem like a big thing at all, but it was a huge thing in the hand of God. The whole thing depended upon the king not being able to sleep that night. And God is working in all the little details of our lives. God is working in the way that he brings particular people across our path at particular times. God is working in terms of the illnesses that we come down with at particular times. He determines when those things come, how long they'll last, and whether we are ever rid of them or not. And all that happens is in God's hand. All that happens is in God's purpose. God preserves and God governs. And today, let us remember that that is the case, that all of us are subject to the preserving and governing work of God, the providence of God. A third thing that I want to say a little word about then is about miracles. The subject of miracles is something that falls within the realm of God's providence. Sometimes God does very strange things. Sometimes God works in spectacular ways that no one was expecting. Often God works in ordinary ways. There are many great miracles recorded in the scriptures for our encouragement. But they're not scattered, they're not found everywhere in the Scriptures. It's not that every page you turn to will have a miracle recorded in it. They're not distributed evenly throughout the Scriptures. There are three periods in the Bible where most of the miracles of the Bible occur. Times when there were a lot of miracles happening, and then there are other long periods in the Scriptures, and there's not many miracles at all. The three main periods that the miracles are concentrated into, you have the time of the days of Moses, God delivering his people from Egypt, and then bringing them into the promised land, and God does great things in those days. And then you have the time of Elijah and the prophets, and God does great miracles in those days of Elijah and Elisha. And then the third time is the time of Christ and the apostles. And miracles occur mainly at the times when God is saying a new thing and a significant thing to his people. And miracles were things that God did as a sign to authenticate the message that God was sending in those days. The miracles were there to show that this really is God speaking. And so in the days of Elijah, when he raises to life the widow's son, she says, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." The miracle of her son being raised from the dead enabled her to believe every word that Elijah would speak. It authenticated him as a man bringing the word of the Lord. Peter said the same thing about Jesus in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. "Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him." And Luke in the book of Acts tells us the same thing about Paul and Barnabas, Acts 14, verse 3. It says, "They spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders." And God was giving his truth through his messengers, and he was drawing attention to that truth that was being newly delivered through the miracles that he sent. And today, we don't live in a day when God is saying new things. God has said exactly what he intends to say in the Scriptures, and they are the final word. There will be no further word from the Lord before Christ returns. And that means that it's not a time when God is generally working in miraculous ways. But that doesn't mean that God cannot work in miraculous ways. And it doesn't mean that God will never do something completely out of the ordinary. And we all probably know of things that have happened, and we have no human explanation for them. And we regard them as being an act of God. God intervened in some special way. And God is still able to do miracles, but God is not saying new things to us that requires miracles to make us sit up and pay attention, because we should be sitting up and paying attention because of what God has already said. So God is a God who can work miracles, but that's not his normal way of working in the times in which we live. The final thing I want to speak about in terms of the providence of God is about living out the doctrine. What difference does it make, believing in the providence of God? What difference does it make if you believe that God is at work and God is in control in this world? Well, first of all, it will affect our attitude to prayer. The Bible encourages us to pray. The Bible doesn't tell us, look, God has his plans in place and he'll do whatever he wants to do. And so don't you bother praying, because that'll be an utter waste of time. That's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible encourages us to come to this God who is in control. Come to him in our prayers. James 5:17, we're told that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The centurion in the Gospels, whose daughter was healed through her father's request, that request was part of God's way of bringing about the healing. God delights to use our prayers in the bringing about of what he intends to do. And the Bible encourages us to persist in our prayers. Luke 11:10, for everyone who keeps on asking receives. He who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. And some of us, I would say, would not be here today in a place of Christian worship if it were not for the fact that others had prayed for us. On this Mother's Day, how many of us owe our spiritual life to the prayers day after day of our mothers and of others who prayed for us? People who prayed and prayed and didn't give up. The providence of God encourages people who believe in it to pray. The doctrine of God's providence also serves to make us cautious about jumping to hasty conclusions. Believing that God is in charge and God is in control and God is working things out doesn't mean that we see ourselves as being experts in interpreting what God means by these things. Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi. The earthquake struck, the chains came off, the doors flung open, and they stayed where they were for the honor of Christ. They didn't make a break for it. They didn't charge out the door and escape as escaped convicts. They stayed where they were. And they could have argued, well, God has sent the earthquake. God has broken the chains. God has opened the door. God is saying, out you go. And they didn't do that, because that's not what God was saying. They acted on principle rather than trying to interpret providence. When King Saul came into the very cave where David and his men were hiding, David didn't take his life. David didn't reason, well, God has brought this about. Of all the places where he could have come in, he's come in here where we are. David didn't do that. Didn't see it as an opportunity to kill Saul, because that's not what God was saying to him in that providence. Jonah ran away from what God wanted him to do. And when he got to Joppa, well, there was a ship just sitting ready to go to the very place that he wanted to go to. And Jonah got into the ship, not because this was the good providence of God, but because he was running away from God. And he was wrong to do so. And yet God used that ship to turn him around and bring him back. And no amount of circumstantial evidence makes something right if you're just trying to avoid what God says is right. I'm a big fan of Bob Dylan's lyrics. I try to restrain myself, not use them too often. But Bob Dylan wrote, people never do what they believe in. They do what's convenient, and then they repent. And there's a lot of truth in that. Things will be convenient for you at times. And you'll be able to rationalize to yourself, well, God just opened the door for me. Well, that doesn't mean you go through that door. So the doctrine of God's providence doesn't cause us to jump to conclusions. No hasty conclusions. And the final thing that I'll say is that the doctrine of God's providence should give us confidence in life. It should give us confidence that though we may well have some hard things to face in life, though we may have hard things to do or hard things to say, that God will ensure a good and right outcome. Abraham was told to sacrifice his son Isaac. And Abraham went to do that because God told him to do it. And Abraham went believing that one way or another, Isaac would be spared and Isaac would live. And Abraham said to his servants, "You stay here, and I and the lad, we will go over there. We will worship, and we will come back to you." And Abraham had confidence in God, that God's good purpose would prevail. He didn't know how, but he believed it would. And God may have hard things for you to do in life. God may have paths that you need to go down that you really would not want to go down if you were given the choice. There will be decisions that you may have to make, and you'll not really want to have to make those decisions. There'll be people sometimes that you'll need to speak to, and you'll not want to have those conversations. And your heart can be filled with fear, and you can be concerned about what the outcome of all of this might be. But believing in the providence of God can give you the strength to go into those situations that you wouldn't want to go into, and do what you believe to be right in the eyes of God, and leave it in his hands, and let him do the things that are outside of your control, because he is the sovereign Lord, and believe in the providence of God. Believe today that God is working in all things, and take heart from that reality. And believe that God is working even in things like our pandemic that we're trying to come out of. Believe that that was part of God's sovereign purpose for the whole earth and as many places as have been affected by it. And believe that out of it all, the good, merciful purposes of God will emerge and be seen in some ways at least. So let us remember the providence of God. Let's be thankful that God is the one who preserves, that God is the one who governs. And let us look to him, put our hope and trust in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's sing to God's praise. We turn to Psalm 33. We sing part of Psalm 33. The tune is Irish 101. The stanzas we sing are 5 to 9. Stanza 6 says, "For he himself did speak, and it was done without delay. He gave command, then firmly stood whatever he did say. The Lord the nation's counsel foils, frustrates the people's plans. The Lord's plans through all ages are, his counsel ever stands." And stanza 9, "The Lord from heaven sees all men, views from his house each one. He forms the hearts of all of them. He knows what they have done." We sing stanzas 5 through to 9, the tune Irish 101. We stand to sing and then remain standing for the benediction.
Amen.
Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.